So to continue our discussion on guns and laws, Oregon passed a background check law that will require background checks on nearly all gun sales. The governor signed that bill last month. Last week, Lane County commissioners took a position against the law in the form of a resolution saying the county would not enforce the law. It costs too much money to do so. We've heard from Senator Floyd Prezonsky, pro-background check, Lane County Commissioner Jay Bozovich, not fond of the law. Now let's hear from Penny Okamoto, who is the executive director at Ceasefire Oregon. Penny, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange today.
Jeffrey, thank you very much for inviting me.
So give us a general sense of what your group is about.
Sure. We work to reduce gun violence. We have one arm that does it actually through legislative means and another arm that does it through education.
How much did Michael Bloomberg's gun control campaign help set up the passage of the background check bill in Oregon?
Set up would be an interesting word. To get a bill like this passed, you need, you know, really a lot of years of work have actually gone into educating the public about the need for background checks, some of the research that has actually been done at Johns Hopkins and elsewhere. But as far as Bloomberg, really kind of came in and just really helped helped push things over. So it was key, I think that the work the Oregonians did in the past and the Oregon legislators did in the past really helped set everything up. That would be work by Senator Prezonsky, Senator Burdick, a lot of great senators and representatives who really understand that background checks save lives.
We have an email here from Mike in Medford who wrote in a few minutes ago. He says, I'm not a gun owner, but all my friends are, and I often shoot with them. That being said, I have always given sympathy to responsible shooters, especially hunters. The gun rights issue has pushed me over the edge. It's not the over 100,000 gun deaths since 2010 or the over 400,000 gun-related injuries since then. It's the absolute ignorance of some of these radicals. People somehow believe their gun is like an appendage the government wants to cut off. Protection against a tyrannical government, Mike writes. Either these people are extremely uneducated or they purposely use the excuse for propaganda. The law was made for protection against a king's army. We don't quarter or have invasion by redcoats very often. Mike finishes up by saying, even if you wanted protection against the government, do you think a handgun is going to help you against the most powerful military on earth? It's unfortunate, not unlike the abortion debate, we have let ignorant radicals decide the safety of our communities. I go out into the wilderness alone with nothing but a small can of bear spray, grow some, and you can guess where it goes from there. Mike in Medford, thanks for that comment. Penny, what do you make of the general tenor of the debate over the years?
I think there are there are many aspects, you know, relating to what Mike had to say, and I appreciate his comment on that. But one of the things that people forget about is guns aren't always the answer. If people are unhappy with the way their government is running things, we have a great recourse. It's called voting. You can vote. Not only can you vote, but you can run for office. So to say that, you know, we need to, you know, I think that Sarah Palin or someone had said we need to, you know, resort to our Second Amendment rights. That's just silly. We're Americans. We're American citizens. We vote. We elect officials. We run for office. Another thing that, you know, people don't really understand, I think, about the passion behind this bill is the huge amount of money that is made by the gun industry in the United States and overseas. The United States has 300 million guns in private ownership. So
that's almost one gun per person.
It is. It's almost one gun per person. In all the guns in the world, the United States owns about 50% of the private gun. So we hold about 50% of the private gun ownership. So when you take a look at that, you know, as far as Bushmaster Glock is concerned, that's a huge market. And when you've got 300 million guns already in the hands of 310 million people, actually what we really call that is a saturated market. So it really behooves the gun industry to get people excited and angry, thinking that their guns are going to be confiscated, or there's some type of, you know, plot, cabal, actually, as some of the opposition says, and it's just not true.
Just for historical and philosophical veracity, because I know Jay Bozovich made reference to it in discussing mm-hmm. the resolution the Lane County commissioners passed
sure.
in opposition to Senate Bill 941, this concept of guns are there to make sure that we can overthrow a tyrannical government if we need to. Is there any particular basis? Obviously, you're not going to read it in the Constitution itself, but
right.
in things like the Federalist Papers, I mean, how much does it appear that the Second Amendment was passed for that specific purpose?
I think not at all. I mean, do we really think the Founding Fathers were encouraging people to commit treason, basically, to go out and kill people. No, that's exactly what they were not trying to do. That's why we have, that's why we can vote. That's why we can run for office. That's the reason. If you don't like the government, vote, run for office, do that. You don't, it's not about taking over a tyrannical government. And I do have to say, you know, I know that some people are extremely well armed, but do they honestly think they're going to be able to take on the Marines? I don't think so.
We have an email here from John in Ashland. He writes, it's very difficult to listen to paranoid, poorly informed conspiracy enthusiasts like the Lane County Commissioner you had on this hour. If neoconservatives would get over their take no prisoners approach to gun control and start educating themselves on the facts of gun violence in this country, we would all be much safer, responsible, and happier. So what are the facts of gun violence that you work with as you do your work at Ceasefire Oregon, Penny?
Sure. I'm going to give you basically two kind of, there are a lot of components to gun violence and gun violence prevention. Basically, what we're taking a look at in terms of the background checks bill is that we know that background checks save lives. And you've heard these statistics before. I can give them to you again. We know that it reduces the number of law enforcement officers who are shot to death with not with their own guns. It also reduces the number of women who are shot to death. But in Oregon, what we really take a look at is suicide. We have about 400 gunshot deaths per year in Oregon. That's about as many people who die in car crashes, by the way. And as far as gunshot deaths are concerned, in a given year, 75 to 85% of those gunshot deaths are actually suicide. And that's one of the things Ceasefire Oregon actually is focusing on or trying to work on, the education part of our organization does, to help reduce suicide. So when we're talking about gunshot death in Oregon, generally speaking, what we're talking about is suicide, domestic violence. Those are two of the main issues that we face here.
We had a real crunch at the end of the last segment. I don't know if you heard it with Jay Bozovich and Senator Prezonsky talking about the mental health portion of the background check bill. Would you detail what's in there?
Sure. Basically, what it says, and I don't actually have the bill right in front of me, but from memory, I think it's Section 11, and I believe it states that if a person has been ordered by a court to undergo outpatient mental health treatment, the judge has the option to tell that patient that the patient cannot buy or possess weapons during the outpatient treatment, and just during the outpatient treatment. And there are several things about that we're concerned about that, but of course the biggest one, is going to be suicide prevention.
Penny Okamoto is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Ceasefire Oregon Executive Director. We're talking about guns and the recent laws in Oregon. 800-838-3760 around the listening area. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. What do you make about this argument, though, that you know, what you do is you just send felons into the black market because they're obviously not going to get into a background check that they would not pass?
Well, it's interesting because we know that nationwide, since the Brady Bill was passed, over 2 million people who were prohibited try to actually buy a weapon, and they were stopped. We know that in Oregon, in I believe it's 2013, there were 2,000 people who were stopped. So we know that felons, people who are prohibited, actually do try to do a background check. So what we're trying to do is just make it harder for those who are prohibited from buying weapons to buy them, whether they're criminals, whether they have domestic violence issues, whether they've been adjudicated mentally ill. We're just trying to make it more difficult for them to get a gun.
What's the proof of evidence on the domestic violence part? Where would that turn up in the background check?
Sure. Actually, every town took a look at data. It was FBI data, as a matter of fact. And that showed it's, I think, it was a 46% reduction in the number of women who were shot to death.
How does Oregon compare, Penny, with other states and the rigor of its gun laws? I could find about 16 different maps yesterday, and all said 16 different things about, you know, who's got what.
Sure. We don't really fare very well, but most of the states actually don't fare very well. I think our last Brady scorecard, we were a D or a D minus. It's going to improve now that we have a background check, but you know, we don't have a law that requires safe storage. We don't have a law that protects children, actually, or that holds a gun owner responsible if a child accesses a weapon that's not secured. Actually, Multnomah County does that. Some other local cities have that, but it's not a statewide bill. So with the background checks bill, we do better, but we actually could do much, much better in terms of reducing gun violence and having laws to do that.
It gets pointed out, though, that even states with very tough gun laws, like Illinois, still have lots of murders in Chicago, for example.
Right. You know, I actually used to live in Chicago, and I'm pretty familiar with that. And so there's Chicago, there's Cook County, and they have their laws. But, you know, it's not an island surrounded by a moat. You've got people bringing guns into there all the time because the surrounding counties don't have the same laws that Cook County or Chicago has.
All right, so the city laws, the Cook County laws, are a lot tougher than what's around them, and so people just buy their guns out in the burbs and come in?
Sure. It's really easy to do. You know, if you're you know, on one side of the street, you're in Cook County, you're in Chicago. On the other side of the street, you could be in a different town with different laws.
All right, so what do you make of the dust-up with the Lane County commissioners over Senate Bill 941?
You know, I think that Lane County commissioners, I think they, you know, they want to provide great leadership for their county. Their county is really hurting financially. I think if I were the county commissioner's resident focusing on a resolution that isn't going to change anything, I would focus on how we're going to bring money into our community. How are we going to bring businesses into our community? How are we going to bring high tech or biotech into the community? They got a great university in Lane County, right? How can we tap into that and get people to stay here in Lane County and do some great tech startups, biotech startups, things like that? That's actually what I would be focusing on, were I the Lane County commissioners. It's easy for me to say. I'm not a commissioner, but that's what I'd be focusing on rather than sapping time with a resolution that really isn't going to change anything in Lane County. The law is still going to be in effect, and people still are going to have to do a background check. And here's the other thing, too. People want to be responsible gun owners and responsible gun sellers. No one wants to sell a gun to a felon. Nobody wants to do that. And this gives them the opportunity to actually go ahead and do a background check. So that's kind of what I take a look at there. You know, I think that Commissioner Bozovich has concerns that, I would be happy to address them, actually. For example, one of the things he says is that a significant majority of all lawfully owned firearms in the United States will not be used in a crime in any given year. Well, a significant portion of people aren't going to commit murder in any given year either. Does that mean that we should just go ahead and make murder legal? Of course not. So, you know, in addition, he talks about, he didn't talk about the resolution states that, you know, the federal lawmakers and state lawmakers continue to propose measures aimed at restricting all firearms and ammunition. He talks about bans, taxation, extensive waiting periods, registration. Those haven't even been talked about in the state of Oregon. 941 enforces what was laid out in the McDonald and Heller decisions. So we know that this is definitely within the Second Amendment, purview of the Second Amendment.
And you're talking about the court cases that identified individual right to gun ownership. Before we go, what do you make of House Bill 3093? This is the focus on concealed carry and reciprocity across state lines.
We very strongly oppose reciprocity. In the state of Oregon, to get a concealed handgun license, you don't even have to touch a gun, let alone have any marksmanship training, which even in Texas, you have to have proof of marksmanship. So if we have reciprocity, that means we're going to be allowing people in who've never even touched a gun, perhaps, to have no training at all, to carry hidden loaded guns into Oregon, including into our Capitol building.
But there is a provision in 3093, isn't there, that the states have to at least have restrictions as equal to or greater than Oregon's?
Right. And the problem is that Oregon has very poor training requirements.
Ah.
Okay. And that's one of our problems. Also, concealed handgun licenses are not like driver's license. Driver's licenses have a uniform training and education level throughout the states. And then, like I just said, concealed handgun licenses don't. Texas is actually tougher than ours. Concealed handgun license also, it's not a guarantee of good behavior. We know that since 2007, 743 people have been shot to death by someone who is legally permitted to carry a concealed gun in the United States. Also, law enforcement is not happy about this because, Commissioner Bozovich is concerned about the cost, think about this cost then. People carrying concealed guns into Lane County, they get stopped by a police officer, shows concealed handgun license from Florida, then that police officer is going to have to contact the issuing agency in Florida to find out whether or not that's actually a valid license. And Colorado, actually, you can't even do that. There's no way for a police officer to determine whether or not that license is even valid in the state of Colorado.
All right. Well, we're not going to solve all the issues with guns and laws today, but at least we got a good airing on them. Penny Okamoto is the executive director at Ceasefire Oregon. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.